This is another edition of the More Abundant Life radio broadcast. My name is Adrian Westney Jr. I'm glad you've joined us today. Our program features inspiring messages and presentations by Pastor Wintley Phipps. Today we have program number 328 in our series, the title, God Looks at the Heart, a program and a message that Pastor Phipps has prepared for us today here on The More Abundant Life. As usual, we're going to have some music before the message, and we're going to get to that right now, a song entitled Talk About a Child or Here's One by Wintley Phipps.
Talk about a child that do love Jesus, here's one. Talk about a child that do love Jesus, here's one. Ever since I heard the gospel story, I've been walking up the path to glory. Talk about a child that do love Jesus, here's one. Talk about a child that's been converted, here's one. Talk about a child that's been converted, here's one. In no Satan's snare I once was falling, till I heard the voice of my Lord calling. Talk about a child that's been converted, a child who's bound for glory, here's one. Talk about a child who's bound for glory, here's one. Ever since I heard the gospel story, I've been walking up the path to glory. Talk about a child that do love Jesus, here's one.
You are listening to the More Abundant Life radio broadcast. This is Adrian Westney, your host for today's program. We just heard music by Wintley Phipps entitled Here's One, and that's from the CD release entitled Wintley Phipps. That's going back to the archives a bit. Here's our message for today. God looks at the heart. Here now is Pastor Phipps.
Father, we thank you for this day of gladness and joy and praise and worship. As we open your word now, I ask that your Holy Spirit will come and have your way, Lord. Take control of me, take control of everything that is said. Speak to me, through me, for me, and I promise you, Jesus, I'll always be careful to give you the honor, the glory, and the praise. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. If you have your Bibles with you, I want you to turn it with me to the book of 1 Samuel. The book of 1 Samuel. Chapter 16. The book of 1 Samuel, chapter 16. I want to begin reading verse 6. The Bible says, "And it came to pass, when they were come, that he looked on Eliab, and said, "Surely the Lord's anointed is before him." But the Lord said unto Samuel, "Look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart." May God add a blessing to the reading of his word. My message this morning, God looketh on the heart. The prophet Samuel was up in years when he tied a young cow to a rope and set out to the city of Bethlehem. He had been sent by God on a mission, a divine errand. His job was to find and choose the one who would reign as the next king over Israel. Led onward by God's Spirit, Samuel traveled to the home of Jesse. Jesse opened his house to the old prophet and then listened intently as Samuel told the reason for his coming. "Jesse, God has told me to ask you to bring before me all of your sons. One of them has been chosen to be king, and he's specially near to the heart of God." One by one, the sons of Jesse were paraded before Samuel. Samuel stared deep into their eyes. As he looked deep into their souls, he was straining to hear the still small voice of divine approval. Jesse's firstborn came before him. He lived. He had the walk of a stallion. He had the bearing of a king. He carried himself as though he had a degree in poise and a PhD in confidence. His eyes sparkled with the light of purpose and determination. He was the tallest and most attractive of Jesse's sons. I'm sure Samuel must have said to himself, "Surely this is the man to lead Israel to heights of progress. He looks like a statesman. He carries himself like a diplomat. He looks like one who can be trusted. I don't need to see any more," Samuel must have thought to himself. "He's my choice. Surely he must be God's choice too." You know, church, Samuel had almost convinced himself that his choice was God's choice. And you know, we do that a lot. We choose people to do a job hoping that that person is God's choice. And believe me, that's not the way. The person looks like the right one for the job isn't always the right one for the job. Sometimes we're just self-convinced. That doesn't mean that they're the one. So when they disappoint us, it's not God who did it to us. Amen. Our wounds were self-inflicted. Samuel thought to himself, "This must be the one the Lord wants me to anoint. He's good looking, well built, handsome, tall, the picture of a king." Eliab stood head and shoulders above the crowd, and he was the firstborn too. So that seemed just natural. But the Lord in 1 Samuel 16:7 says, "The Lord spoke to Samuel saying, don't look at the outside of this man. That's how the people chose the last leader, and look at the mess they're in. Samuel, don't look at how strong he is. Don't look at how tall he is. That's what men look for. Church, Samuel was so convinced he was ready to close the process. He had seen enough. He was ready to discontinue any inquiry. But the voice of God spoke, Samuel, he's not the one. Look not on his countenance, nor on the height of his stature, because I, the Lord, have refused him. My Lord, he's not the one. Aren't you glad that in the eyes of God, looks aren't everything? Some of us have a chance. Amen. The Lord looks at man's willingness to obey his laws. God looks at man's attitude, his dependence on God. Church, Samuel did not choose Eliab. He was obedient to the promptings of God. Instead, he continued his interviews with the other sons of Jesse. Jesse's other male sons came before him, and each son grew smaller and more diminished in bearing and stature. Abinadab came before him, and he was of quick mind, but God said, he's not the one. Shammah came before him. He was charismatic. He was charming. That isn't everything, church. I said, ladies, that isn't everything. I said, ladies, that isn't everything. He's not the one. Finally, Samuel said to Jesse, are these all of your sons? Jesse said to Samuel, as almost as an afterthought, come to think about it, there's one more, the youngest. He's out in the field watching the sheep. You see, he's not proficient as a leader, nor is he accomplished in the reading of law and statutes. Come to think about it, yes, I do have one more son, but his gifts are common. His experience is little. He needs time to mature. Yes, he's skilled at the harp. He sings well. But we don't need a shepherd. He's the best shepherd we've got, but there's no one who does a better job at keeping sheep amused. For the most part, he stays to himself in the fields. He writes beautiful songs. He composes wonderful poems and sonnets. You should hear him on his homemade flute. He made it himself from desert reeds. He whiles the hours away with instruments and song. To tell you the truth, Samuel, we don't see him very much. We usually leave him to himself.
Have mercy, Lord.
Send for him, said Samuel. We're not going to eat until your last boy gets here. Samuel, what could you want with him? You've seen all my other sons. If we sent for him, what could you do with him anyway? The word went out to the hillside. The father has summoned his youngest son who keeps watch over the flock. Church, when David was led in from the fields, he still had the green stain of grass on his sandals. His garments reeked of the musty smell of the wild. When he was brought in, the faces of Jesse's other sons bore traces of contempt as they watched him walk through the door. David's eyes were full of dreams. His countenance was bright with hope. His stature was short and he was ruddy. He was suntanned, rugged. But most of all, he had a Holy Ghost presence around him. Samuel noticed a sparkle in his eye as he talked about the Lord to this young son of Jesse. And the old priest smiled. because he heard a voice speak from heaven, "Arise, Samuel, anoint him, pour the oil on his head. He's the one whom God has chosen. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but God looketh on the heart. He's the one." "Samuel, young boy, what's your name?" "My name is David, sir." The prophet raised his hand, uncorked the flask, and as the oil ran down his matted beard, the Bible says the Spirit of the Lord came upon him with more power. Added power. And from that day on, everyone knew in David's house, God had selected him. David went back to take care of his father's sheep because it wasn't time yet. Have mercy, Lord. Don't do things before the Lord says it's time. Church, it's difficult for us, if not impossible, to gaze into the eyes of children and see the future God has prepared for a child. The Bible says, "For I know," Jeremiah 29:11, "I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a bright future." If the story of David teaches us anything, it teaches us never underestimate the potential of a child. Never discount the potential of any human being as being unimportant and insignificant. For if there is one thing life will teach you, is that children will surprise you. The good ones will surprise you and do things. Are you with me today? And the bad ones. My mother used to look at me growing up, and in her own way, she said, "You see you? You're going to be either something very good or very bad." The Bible teaches us that that child that seems incorrigible and difficult, that child that seems to drift aimlessly, that child who can't seem to stay out of trouble, that very child may be the one God will turn around and use for his glory. As an old man once said, "Men are counting heads, but God is weighing hearts." You see, make no mistake about it. When God looks at all of us, he looks past the outward appearance and he looks at the heart. It is not an accident that God has likened the most central spiritual affection of the soul to the operation of a human heart. God uses this metaphor for a reason. A few years ago, I received a letter from a friend inviting me to minister to a delegation that he was bringing to Washington, members of the Canadian Parliament. In his letter, he told me of his upcoming visit, how he wished that I would reserve some time to visit with these members of Parliament, and I was humbled by his letter. And so I picked up the telephone and called this dear brother in Ottawa, Ontario. As I let the phone ring, there seemed to be no answer. I proceeded to leave a message on the answering machine, and in the midst of his message, his wife picked up the telephone. I identified myself and stated the purpose of my call. I told her of my willingness to accept his invitation. "Oh yes," she said, "my husband often spoke of you, but I'm sorry to tell you he died Tuesday." She continued to tell me how for years his heart had been failing him, and he died while using his treadmill. I'll never forget the letter that he sent to me. Not only did he sign it "Sincerely Bill," but beside his name in quotes, he had also written "In Christ." Perhaps you too know someone whose heart has failed them. In fact, you know, there is nothing more dangerous to the human condition than a heart that is weak and failing. That's why they call it the silent particular. This heart that we carry in our bodies is, for all of us, the very center of life. It is a mass of muscle placed between the lungs. It is a fountain of health. It is a delicate, complex weave of auricle and ventricles and valves and vessels. It is the central organ of the human frame. The very health of the body depends upon the strength of the heart. When the heart is healthy, the whole body is filled with energy. But when the heart is feeble or failing, that spells disaster. Every other organ of the body is dependent upon the vitality of the heart. Have mercy. When God says he looketh not on the outward appearance, he looketh upon the heart. God is using a physical heart as a metaphor for the one thing that defines how healthy spiritually you are. You see, every one of us has a spiritual heart in the eyes of God. Amen. When it says he looketh not on the outward appearance, he's not looking for the heart that's in your chest. Our strength as human beings is determined by the strength of our spiritual affections. The spiritual heart is the seat of moral purpose. It is the fountainhead of our will and determination. The heart of a man is the best indicator of his destiny. The Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart. Thinketh in his heart. Thinketh in his heart. So is he. Here God is trying to tell us that the heart is the seat of the affections. It is the hub and focus of our feelings. To have a healthy soul, you need a clean heart. Ladies, if you really want to know a man, ask God to show you his heart. You ought to write that down. If you want to know a man, don't ask God to show you how strong he is, how debonair he is. He could be fluent in 8 languages. Ask God to show you his heart. You see, we as modern men and women, we place more emphasis on the intellect. Is he smart? I don't care if he's smart. Does God have his heart? I don't care how good looking he is. Does God have his heart? You see, with God, it is the character of the heart that determines your destiny. With God, it is the strength of your spiritual affections that really determines who you are. With God, it is the placement where you place your fondness. It is your adoration, what you adore. Hallelujah. That is what determines in the eyes of God who you really are. No wonder the Lord admonishes us in Proverbs 4:23. If you have your Bibles, you can turn with me there. Book of Proverbs, chapter 4, verse 23. God says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of the heart are the issues of life. Woo! God says, look. Let me say, God says, keep your heart, guard it, in other words. Have mercy, Lord. For out of it are the issues of life. God is saying that on a spiritual level. But on a physical level, he's saying to you, look at how I guard your physical heart. Did you know that God has placed some of the strongest bones in your body around your heart? Did you know that many times in accidents, in trauma, when other parts of the body are hurting, the heart can still beat strongly because it has been kept safe? Amen. God knows how to guard The heart, that's why God says your spiritual heart, your mind, your affections, guard it. Guard it with diligence. Most of the time when God looks upon our spiritual hearts, have mercy, Lord, what he sees is not pretty, because we haven't been guarding our hearts. Jeremiah 17:9. If you have your Bibles, you can turn there. It says the heart, you ought to know this by heart. The heart is deceitful. That's what God sees when he looks. Oh, Lord, have mercy. When he looks at us, he sees deceitful people. Church, on the scales of judgment, in the highest court in the universe, every heart under the sound of my voice today is being weighed. It is being weighed in the balances. Hear me today. God is not just looking at your record. He's looking at your heart. Because I can tell you, if you've had the worst record in the world, but God is pleased with your heart, you're going to make it. Because God looks beyond your record to your heart. Today, God says, if you will let me and you want to change, I'll give you a heart of flesh for your heart of stone. I'll give you a heart that delights to do my will. Now, I won't give you another heart. I will give you a new heart. A heart that is tender to the touch of the Holy Spirit.
That brings us to the end of the message for today. God looks at the heart. I hope you enjoyed the message. And if you did enjoy it enough to want to get an audio copy of today's message, here's what you need to do. Call the Seabrook Church at 301-577-6342. There you want to ask for program number 328. That's program number 328. You can also email a request for audio to SeabrookAV. That's Seabrook, A like Apple, V like Victor, at yahoo.com. And the good folks there at Seabrook will do their best to help you out getting an audio copy of today's message. Well, that's the end of our program for today. My name is Adrian Westney. I hope that you'll join us again for another program, but until you can, remember the words written in John chapter 10, verse 10, where Jesus said, I came that you might have life, and that that life might be the more abundant life.
Give what's in your heart.